I had the ride, but not the road. I was living in Tennessee, and I'd bought my dream car, a Big Bird, or 1963 Pearl White Thunderbird, complete with a 390 cubic inch Ford V8 engine, brushed aluminum cockpit interior, and black leather bucket seats. But what I missed was the mother road, Route 66. I had the car, but not the highway. If there's any place to drive a 1950s or 1960s car, it's on Route 66. No other highway has more legend, more scenery, and more history than Route 66, which pioneered long-distance auto routes across America and was a victim of its own success when Congress passed the Interstate Highway Act in 1956, dooming the two-lane blacktop with its mom-and-pop cafes to replacement by highway off-ramps, chain restaurants, and motels with numbers, not names. Novelist John Steinbeck quipped that with the new interstate highway system, you could drive the length of the United States and never see a thing. Four-lane interstate highways linked big cities in straight lines. Route 66 accessed the heart of America. It went through small towns, not around them. Americans have always moved west. It's in our blood and in our genes. Route 66 was born in 1926. Within a few years, thousands of busted small farmers who had been tractored out would drive the road towards the setting sun in their jalopies. Steinbeck chronicled the saga of California-bound Okies leaving the Dust Bowl. In The Grapes of Wrath, families traveled together on Route 66. Later, Jack Kerouac wrote On the Road. Kerouac drove a Hudson. My dad preferred a big, ocean-green Packard Caribbean with a huge V8 engine and three two-barrel carburetors. It was the 1950s and the Depression was over. World War II had ended and American veterans were out to see the country. We took Route 66 to Flagstaff and then to Williams and north to Grand Canyon. Lately, I've been on the same route trying to recapture some of that automobile nostalgia from the days of family vacations. Much of Route 66 got bypassed and forgotten when the interstates came through. Communities were left high and dry as highway engineers diverted traffic away from small towns and their main streets. But a few businesses still cater to nostalgia seekers looking for the mother road. In Flagstaff, I stopped into the Museum Club, which is a quintessential log roadhouse built in 1931, serving the standard honky-tonk fare of cold beer, cheeseburgers, and country music. The building's entrance is beneath a large forked ponderosa pine tree, and inside, every critter imaginable can be found hanging from the rafters or about to pounce on patrons, including stuffed cougars, elk, deer, caribou, and assorted rattlesnakes and reptiles. Once home to hundreds of taxidermied animals, including bobcats, bears, owls, and peacocks, that's where the Museum Club got its name. Traveling musicians have set the stage from Willie and Waylon to Bob Wills and the Texas Cowboys and Asleep at the Wheel. Dancing the two-step gets interesting, not just because of the animal audience, but also because of upright shellac pine trees which hold the roof up from the middle of the dance floor. The popularity of this vintage Route 66 roadside attraction is attested to by the 5-foot-long urinal in the men's room, booths with local cattle brands burned into tabletops, and mountain bikes locked to the hitching post out front. Farther west in Seligman, Arizona, Angel Delgadio carries on at a youthful 86 years old. If any person in the Southwest embodies Route 66, it's Angel. My dad came to Seligman the winter of 1917. He was just one step ahead of Pancho Villa, explains Angel, who proudly tells me that he started cutting hair on May 22, 1950 at 9 a.m., and he hasn't stopped since. Born on Route 66 in 1927, he took the Mother Road west to Barber College in Pasadena. As a boy, he relates, I saw the Okies migrating to California from the Midwestern states. I saw 250,000 people moving west in the 1930s when the route was unpaved with no fences and few trees. I've seen soldiers hitchhiking during World War II. Then his voice drops, and in almost a whisper, he relates, I saw the day we were bypassed by the interstate on September 22, 1978. The town died for 10 long years. My family couldn't afford to leave, so we just stayed. But like other resourceful Americans, Delgadio wasn't about to give up his dream of a little shop on Main Street. Instead, he explains, we asked the state to make it historic between Seligman and Kingman, 89 miles, to get the economy back. His pleas and his letters went nowhere, but, quote, finally, we got people's attention. And then the task turned to telling the world that Route 66 wasn't dead. It worked. He laughs. I get to talk to people from all over who come to our store. This is like the America of yesterday. Today's travelers love to be on Route 66. And why not? The big 18-wheel diesel trucks drive the interstate, so segments of intact Route 66 are perfect for sightseers, motorcyclists, and motor coaches full of tourists. Angel smiles from his packed T-shirt shop and visitor center. Quote, it took me years to understand that people want what they have lost. It just gains momentum. In October 1985, they took down all the Route 66 signs between Chicago and Santa Monica, but now there are 13 gift shops in Seligman alone. His brother built a business too. Del Gaudio Snowcap serves snow cones, milkshakes, burgers, and soda, was constructed of scrap lumber discarded by the Santa Fe Railroad. Once too poor to leave town, Angel now sits outside his gift shop and smiles as the world comes to him. He continues cutting hair. I wish I still had that T-Bird. I always wanted to drive west into the sunset on Route 66 and watch the last rays of daylight reflect off that half-acre car hood. My taillights look like gleaming red tubes of lipstick or the afterburners of jet engines. But if my vintage 60s ride is gone, I've still got the road. We've all got the mother road.